The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Holy and precious God, we know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Give us your truth, that we may know your will for our lives, today and every day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I greet you with grace and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. If you look at the scorecard, you see my name. So it's in there as the sermon preacher. So I didn't just come in and, my wife has acquired my sore throat, so I decided to help her out today and take over. But glad to be here. And one of the things that I'm very aware of in my day-to-day life as a hospice chaplain is that I get a chance to interact with people at very special times in their life. And I also know that my children, one of whom happens to be here, so he can be in the sermon as he buries his head, have grown up in a very different environment. And I'll never forget one day in third grade, as I went to pick him up, he yells across the library of after-school kids, Hey, Dad, did you kill anybody at work today? And I can see the color drain from the librarian's face. And she says, Do you routinely kill people at your job? And I said, Sometimes. And I went on to explain that as a hospice chaplain, when people are near death, there are rituals, there are words, there are scriptures. And when you use those rituals and words and scripture, people come to peace. And often people come to a final peace. And I can't tell you how many times during prayer or during scripture or during an anointing, I've had someone slip away, but it's a beautiful, it's a wonderful sight. So that's what my son meant about killing people. But as I think about it, there's a number of those scriptures that are very key. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? John 10, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In the scripture from today, John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You know the way where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's a beautiful, wonderful passage. And as I think about it, and as I've thought about it, one of the things about that passage that disturbs me sometimes is when we look at that passage, we want to make God's mansions exclusive. There's that old joke about St. Peter's escorting this person around heaven, and they get to the corner room and they just peer in through the little window. And St. Peter's going, shh. And the guy says, why do I have to be so quiet? And St. Peter says, that's the Wisconsin Synod. They think they're the only ones here. You can insert other denominations. But sometimes we try to think of heaven, of God's mansions, as something that's exclusive. And I know the joke in my family. I grew up in a very strict Roman Catholic family where we were taught only Catholics were in heaven. And it took me 23 years to realize that God's grace was much bigger than that. And in my family, we kind of joke about the day my grandma got to heaven, opened up her eyes and went, oh no, they're all here. But I think, first of all, the reminder from this text is that heaven is not an exclusive place. And I think sometimes the people of God, sometimes many Christians, in good faith, try to exclude people from heaven rather than include. And I think sometimes we get the idea that our God is an exclusive God rather than an inclusive God. And that's one of the things that I want us to take away from these texts today, is a reminder that we have a God that includes all. I have on my stole a little pin that's the same symbol that's on the doors to the church. And it's a reminder for me every time that I preach that God includes all. There's no conditions. There's no limitations. Jesus never said, love your neighbor except ... Cardinals fans, Cubs fans, throw in whatever you want. But the first thing that I get out of this text is a wonderful reminder that God is an inclusive God. And I think the other thing that comes out of this Gospel of John for me is a movement in my own mind. Because I think a lot of times when we think about what is heaven, and there's many people that talk about what heaven is, but I think when we talk about heaven, I think we need to move beyond the idea that it's a reward for doing good. I think we need to move beyond the idea that heaven is some kind of reward that we strive to, or we try to earn, or we try to get to. Because I think there are things in this text that tell me, that remind me that heaven is more than just a reward. Because Jesus says, believe me, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. That's a reminder for me that when we identify and when we tell people we are Christians, when we tell people we are members of First Lutheran Church, or we go to this church, when we tell people, when we identify as followers of Jesus Christ, it's more than being just a kingdom person trying to earn our way into heaven. It's a reminder that when we identify as God's people and people look at us and say that we are God's people, they will look at how we live and they will look at what we do. The works. No, I'm not Pastor Pam. Let her know I didn't say works are going to get us into heaven. Not going down that road. But it's a reminder that in what we do in our daily lives, people look at us and see us. And if we call ourselves children of God, then it should be reflected in what we do. And we do the things that we do in the world, we live in the world, because we are first children of God. I mean, if you look through the sanctuary today, I've been told there's 197 quilts. That's more than last year, I think by one, but it's still more, right? But this is a ministry of love. It's a ministry of people who put together little pieces of fabric, who weave them and sew them together so that people in the world might be warm, might be clothed. It's a ministry of love that reflects the one who first loved us, Jesus Christ our Lord. And in that ministry, when people look at us, they see Christ in us. It's more than just a reward heaven. In many ways, it's how we live out our daily lives as the people of God, sharing and spreading God's love in the world. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to be the people of God in the world, sharing and spreading God's love in the world. As 1 Peter says, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that we may proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Think about those wonderful words that identify us as who we are. We are a people set apart by God to be God's hands, God's heart, God's healing in the world. And it's a wonderful calling, it's a difficult calling, because when we are God in the world, sometimes we fail. We sin. We fall short. We don't live up to our expectations. We don't live up to God's expectations. But as the children of God who have been called, gathered, enlightened, and made holy by the waters of baptism, when we fail, God comes to us again, each and every day, with God's forgiveness. As Luther says, when we rise up out of the bed, we rise up as sinners forgiven by the grace of God. And the God that forgives us, the God that has made us his children, the God that has made us a royal priesthood, a people set apart, is a God who does prepare for us the gift of heaven, the mansion, the room, the dwelling place, where we can dwell with God forever. And in that dwelling place, as in this sanctuary, God welcomes all in the name of the one who loves us and forgives us by his grace. Amen.